Father, we thank you so much for today, and thank you for another opportunity to hear the word of God. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Please bless the preaching, teaching, and hearing of your word today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Without faith, let's read it, everybody. 1, 2, 3, go. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that must believe that he is, of that diligently seek him. Amen. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. You have to believe in God. Amen. You have to believe, be a believer in God. Hallelujah. You have to be a believer in God. Many people believe more in luck than in God. They believe in some kind of uncontrolled, you know, something called luck that you can't influence in any way, you know. But you must believe in God. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, he that cometh to God must believe that he is. That means he is God. That he is able. That he exists. Amen. The Bible says it is only a fool who says in his heart that there is no God. Amen.
Amen.
A fool says in his heart that there is no God. But he that comes to God must believe that he is. It must also mean then that there are people who come to God but who still don't believe. Do you see? People who come to God, come to church, but still don't believe. We believe other things. We believe that other things are more powerful, other things are greater, other things have a stronger impact and influence on our destinies and our lives than God himself. But the Bible says, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That means diligence is a word we've been studying in the mornings, isn't it? Wow. It's interesting that it's relevant, and it is useful here also. It is required. He must believe that God rewards people who diligently seek him. That means people who fight, people who fight over obstacles, isn't it? And overcome difficulties in order to seek him. Hallelujah. Wow, God will reward you if you're able to overcome sleep to seek him. If you're able to overcome distance to seek him. If you're able to overcome being broke to seek him. Gas money. Tiredness. If you're able to overcome all those things to seek him. The Bible says God will reward you. Hallelujah. Amen. So that is something you do because of your faith. Amen. If you don't have faith, God will not be happy with you. You cannot please God. Amen.
Amen.
But it so happens that the Bible talks about types of faith. The Bible describes faith in many different ways. And I want us to look at a few of them. Then I'm going to show you how you can make your faith grow. And we'll close. Amen. Right. So the first type of faith is little faith. Little faith. And that one is found in Matthew chapter 14 and verse 31. Matthew chapter 14 and verse 31. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Amen.
Amen.
O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Now, this passage has to do with Peter, who was trying to walk on water. And then at a point, he began to sink. Do you see? And just as he was sinking, Jesus immediately stretched forth his hand and caught him. I see Jesus catching you. Amen. When you are sinking. Hallelujah. Amen. He's going to catch you when you're sinking. So Jesus stretched forth his hand and he caught him immediately and said unto him, your problem is your faith is little. Hallelujah. Your faith is little. So you can have faith, but it's little. And when your faith is little, you can sink. Do you see? You can sink. And unless the Lord reaches out and helps you in some way, you will find that you're going down. Hallelujah. But the opposite of that is the next type of faith, which is great faith. Great faith. And that is found in Matthew chapter 8 from verse 5. Let's read the story from verse 5. Matthew chapter 8 verse 5. And when Jesus entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him. Verse 6. And saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. And then the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof. You know how it is sometimes when you surprise someone with a visit, it's like, oh, don't come to my house. You get it, the place is not clean, it's not swept, you know, the kids have messed up the place. Oh, so this guy had some reason why he didn't want Jesus to come there. Maybe, I don't know. But he said, I'm not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof. But speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. He just said, you just stand where you are and say something. That's all I need. I just need you to speak the word only. Speak the word only. Look, this guy is showing us that the word of God is very powerful. Wow. He's teaching us that something that God says is very powerful. Wow. The Bible is very powerful. Amen. The word of God is very powerful. Preaching is very powerful. He said, look, my servant is sick. You don't have to come see him. I just need you to stand there and speak the word. Oh, how many things will change in your life if only you will speak the word. Apply the word to those situations and things will begin to shift around in your life. Hallelujah. So when the guy said, speak the word only and my servant shall be healed, then verse 9, he said, for I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth. And I say to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. So verse 10, he says, when Jesus heard it, he marveled. He said, what a shock. And said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. He said, I haven't met anyone who believes to this extent. I haven't met anyone who believes that commands to things can yield results. Wow. That when the word of God is spoken against something, results come forth from it. That you can have great results just by speaking positively and speaking according to your faith. The gentleman said, you don't have to come to my house. You don't have to come to my house. I was just in the middle of vacuuming the place when I heard you were passing by. You know, Lord, the servant is not well. So I've been doing these things. I've been doing these things by myself. You know, so the house is in a mess, Lord, and you don't have to come there. But thankfully, what I need from you does not need your physical presence in my house. I just need you to stand there and say something. He said, because I also have some power over people. And I know how it works. I say to this one, come, and he comes. And I say to another, go, and he goes. And I say to another, do this, and he does it. And I know that if you issue one of those commands, by faith, things will change. That is my belief. I believe that in your life also, you need to operate the centurion principle. There are things in your life that you need to call into existence and say, come, by faith. And they will start to respond. And then there are other things you need to command to go. Hallelujah. Some of you cannot sleep at night. You need to wake up now and say, go. And call sleep and say, sleep, come. In the name of Jesus. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You need to address poverty and say, poverty, go. You need to touch your body where you are sick and say, sickness, hey, hey, I'm talking to you. Sickness, go in the name of Jesus. And the guy said, I know how it works. I know how it works. And Jesus said, when people think and talk like that, they are exercising great faith. Hallelujah. They are exercising great faith. I see you having great faith. I see you having great faith. You must have great faith for your future. Great faith for your grades. Have great faith for school. Have great faith for your finances. Have great faith for your relationships. Just approach them with great faith. Because great faith has results. Amen. When you read verse 11, read verse 11. Verse 11, and I say unto you that many shall come from the east and from the west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus was telling them that, you know, this thing, people of Israel who should have known better don't have such faith. So he's saying that I can see a lot of people coming from so many different places, coming to take what belongs to you. Yeah, they are coming to sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. All because of faith. Because of what they believe. Your faith will promote you. Great faith will take you places. And you will rise in the name of Jesus. Amen. Great faith will build this church. Hallelujah. Great faith will build a church. Great faith will cause a church to exist in this area. In the name of Jesus. Right. The next one is weak faith. Weak faith. Weak faith is found in Romans chapter 4 from verse 17. Romans chapter 4 verse 17. Weak faith. And then the next one after that is strong faith. Strong faith. I don't think you are surprised, isn't it? Well, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Hallelujah. He says he calls those things which be not as though they were. This is what human beings and people who do not have faith, this is what they call crazy. This is what they call being delusional. To call things that be not as though they were. Do you see? To say that I see a car when there is no car outside. Do you see? To say that I have a job. When you wake up and you are sitting at home without a job. Wow. When you start to say, I see myself married. And they look around you and they can't see anybody around you. 360 degrees, no show. When they say, I see my bills paid. And no one can see how. That is what people call delusional and people call crazy. But in the house of God, in the arena where God reigns, in the kingdom of God, when people talk like that, God seems to notice them, and God seems to approve of them, and God says those people have faith. That kind of talk is called faith in the presence of God. Wow. He says, he calleth those things, God calls those things which be not as though they were. He addresses the thing and relates with it as though it exists. If you have to have faith and walk in faith, you have to relate with what you are trusting God for as though it exists. Not something to come, but something that is. Hallelujah. Amen. They may call you crazy, but you see, walking with God actually involves some degree of craziness. Amen. See, actually, you can't be... You can't practice religion without being a little crazy. Do you see? Yeah. No matter what religion you practice, there's some craziness involved. You see? Yeah. And it's crazy only to those who are outside it. But for anyone who is in it, it has and is full of meaning. Isn't it? Yeah. So, God, which calleth those things which be not as though they were. Now, verse 18, who against hope believed in hope? See, this is the manifestation of craziness, isn't it? When hope is finished and you are still holding yours. You see, when you can see hope, when everyone thinks hope is finished. Do you see? When they have already hired someone and they fill the position and you still say, I believe I have a spot in that place. When the matter is closed, supposedly closed, and you still say, I believe. You see, some people in the Bible, two ladies, they lost their brother. His name was Lazarus. But the good thing was that their brother was a friend to Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. You have to choose good friends. You have to choose friends who have power. Friends who can pray to change things. Yeah. That way, even when you die and are buried, it's still not the end. Hallelujah. So Lazarus, his friend was Jesus Christ. And when he died, it really pained Jesus. And Jesus went over there after some days when he had been buried, even for 3 days or so, or 4 days even, he was buried. When he went to the family, he told one of the sisters, can you take me to the tomb where your brother has been buried? And the sister said, Lord, if you had been here, I know that you have some power. I know we've seen you walk around town, do all kinds of things. You know, we've seen you even raise the dead, but not when it was this dead. You see, because some of the situations they saw, it was like fresh dead. Do you get it? But this one is dead, dead, dead and buried. Then days have passed. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. Even the insects and organisms in the earth have already started their feast on the body. And this is a closed case. You know, and the sister said to Jesus, you know, if you had been here earlier, you just have to accept, Lord, that sometimes it's just too late. Do you understand? And it's okay. It's okay. We've buried him. We've been crying for a while. I mean, we're used to it now. I think it's okay. Please don't come and stir up. Jesus said, you just show me where your brother is. He said, didn't I tell you, I am the resurrection and the life. That is me. I am the resurrection and the life. And when I go see your brother, the case that is dead, buried, closed, sealed, will be reopened. Because I am the resurrection and the life. Hallelujah. Jesus went over there and commanded. He said, Lazarus, come forth. Hey, and from the dead, wherever that is, the guy recognized the voice of his body. He said, wow, I need to go back and be with Jesus and hang out with him. And he went over there. He came from the tomb. Jesus said, loose him and let him go. See, I'm trying to help you understand that when you're dealing with God, there is no such thing as a dead case. There is no such thing as a cold case. There's no such thing as a matter that is over. When you're dealing with God, God can reopen even the most dead of cases. It's all about faith. And so this fellow, they're talking now about Abraham, and it said that he, against hope, believed in hope. That means against the principles of hope. Usually, hope requires a ray of light or some kind of something to stand on. When people have hope, it is based on something. Anytime someone says, I hope something, usually it is because they think they are standing on something that has the ability to turn things around. But against hope, that means when he had nothing to stand on to believe that anything could change, he still believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken. According to that which was spoken. He said, if God said it, there is a huge chance that it's going to come to pass. If it's in the word, then there is a great chance that it will come to pass. So what are you standing on? The only thing I can stand on is the word. I don't have anything to stand on, but if God said it, there is a great chance. He said, I believe that it's going to happen. So shall thy seed be. That's what the Lord said to him. Hallelujah. And verse 19, and being not weak in faith, do you see? He considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. Hallelujah. So weak faith is the type of faith that considers all the circumstances that make a situation impossible. Weak faith is the kind of faith that takes into account all the reasons why something cannot work. Weak faith is the one, or is the kind of faith that is obsessed with, you know, the physical evidence and the facts as they are. That is weak faith. Anytime you find yourself just considering the facts rather than considering the word of God, you are exercising weak faith. You are walking in weak faith. Don't be surprised if it doesn't support you. Don't be surprised if it doesn't yield anything. Because most weak things don't support anything. Most weak things don't yield anything. Most things that are weak cannot be used to do anything. When a chair is weak, everyone avoids it. But it's still called chair.
Wow.
Do you see what I'm saying? It is still called a chair. They may even set it up in the service, but it will never do what it is meant to do, because everyone looks at it, they shake it, and they think, no, not this one. So it exists, but it cannot perform its function because it's weak. And when people have faith, which is weak, it exists, but it can't do anything for them. Are you getting what I'm saying? So if you're going to have faith, don't have weak faith.
Amen.
And weak faith considers, you know, all the circumstances. Weak faith says, hey, but I've never done this before. Weak faith says, I've never been employed before. Weak faith says, I've never earned such a salary before. Weak faith says, I don't have any money in the bank. Weak faith says, I've never seen it happen to anyone before. I've never seen them do something like that for anyone like me before.
Mercy.
That may be true, but the fact that you are obsessed with that consideration shows that your faith is weak. And that weak faith will not bring much to you. Hallelujah. Amen. So being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Then verse 20 says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. So rather than have weak faith, have strong faith.
Right.
And strong faith has the characteristic of giving glory to God. Yes. And saying, Lord, I thank you. I don't see it in my hand. I don't even feel it in my body. But I know that you are able. And that is what I'm thanking you for. I give you glory for what you have already done in the name of Jesus. Wow. This is Abraham. Strong faith, giving glory to God. Wow, strong faith, going about even sharing his testimony before it's cooked. Wow. Yeah. Abraham was walking around in the neighborhood and telling them, listen, I'm going to have a baby shower one of these days. Yeah, and they're asking, why, is it for a grandson or something? Because they're just thinking that, I mean, by your age, it can't be you. He said, no, it's not a grandson, it's me. I am going to have a baby. And then people will say, wow, the old man is delusional. Something is wrong with this old man. You know, it's old age. Then someone said, well, yeah, he had a 100th birthday party not so long ago. Oh, 100, that's a lot of years. You know, then Abraham will just move away and say, Lord, I give you glory. Glory that you are not restricted by age. Hallelujah. You need to have faith that God is not restricted by age. Your age will not restrict God.
Amen.
Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. That a lot of things are still possible at your age.
Amen.
Abraham believed that many things are possible. Many things that are typically found with younger people are possible also with him.
Yeah.
He believed that he can be included, even though he's older than the average person who does that. You need to believe that even though you are older than the average person who does what you are trying to do, even though you are younger than the average person who does what you are trying to do, who goes where you are trying to go to, who has what you are trying to have, even though your age doesn't fit it, God is not limited by your age. Can I have an amen? Say, God is not limited by your age. You can't be too old for a miracle. And you can't be too young for a miracle. You are just the right age for what God is going to do. Hallelujah. So give him glory for what he will do in the name of Jesus. Amen. He staggered not at the promise of God. Abraham walked upright, firm and strong, steadily towards the promise of God. Because if God said it, it is good. I can believe it. And the Bible says, he that comes to God must believe that God rewards people who diligently seek him. People who go over obstacles, the obstacle of considering all the things that you can feel. I mean, at 100, you feel, you're bound to feel some things in your body. Yeah. You're bound to feel some things. Sometimes you move your hand, it needs help. The other hand has to help this hand move. You know, say, hey, we're going to the left. Come on. 3, 2, 1. Move to the left. Because you're 100 years old. Amen. And the Bible says he didn't consider also the deadness of Sarah's womb, his wife. You know, not only was she old, but that womb had not even done this before. You see, so that womb didn't need a refresher course. It just was totally new to this whole thing. And Abraham knew that this thing is dead, dead, dead. But that's not the thing to consider. You must consider what the power of God can do.
Yeah.
you must consider who is saying that you will be a father of nations. That is why the word of God is so important. Because you need to stand on something. And that something is the word of God. And often when you don't have the word of God in you, you are forced to stand on the physical evidence. Because you don't have anywhere to stand. So you are forced to stand on the fact that you don't have the right degree. You are forced to stand on the fact that you don't have the right immigration status. You are forced to stand on the fact that you are now 40-something years old. You are forced to stand on something else. Because you have to stand on something. But when you get the word of God in place, you can change your position. And instead of standing on your age, standing on the facts that are against you, you can stand on the promise of God. And from that point, begin to reach out. And you will see that it's going to happen by the grace of God. Amen. So, weak faith and then strong faith are all types of faith that a person can have. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Now, another type of faith is exceedingly growing faith. Okay? And 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3. Exceeding growing faith. Exceeding growing faith. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet or appropriate, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. Hallelujah. But well, this is faith that is growing exceedingly. This is faith in overdrive. Hallelujah. This faith is growing and it's multiplying and it's on steroids. It's moving up and up and up and up. He said that I thank God always for you, brethren, as it is appropriate. It is appropriate for me to thank God for you because I can see that your faith is in high speed gear. Your faith is growing at a rate that is amazing. And because of that, or one of the results of that is that everyone's charity or love is actually abounding and multiplying.
Wow.
It seems you are doing well. You are flourishing in the faith. That is exceeding growing faith.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Our faith can grow.
Amen.
The amount of faith you have can change.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And faith grows the more you feed it on what grows faith. Hallelujah. And if you want your faith to grow exceedingly, you need to grow in the word of God. You need to grow in the knowledge of the word of God. One of the things that will bless you, which I'll recommend to you, is begin to read the gospels again. Begin to read Matthew and Mark and Luke and John. And read especially about the miracles. Anytime Jesus is doing or performing a miracle, read that one. Read that one. And you're going to see that your faith will now be supercharged. Hallelujah. The faith is growing. Faith can grow. You can have more faith than you have now. Hallelujah. Then the other type of faith is increasing faith. Increasing faith. Increasing faith. That is found in Luke chapter 17 and verse 5. You know, this one looks like faith that is just going up. You know, yeah, this is not turbocharged, but like the other one. Okay, so Luke 17 and verse 5, the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. We want more faith. Just take it up one notch. Hallelujah. We want more faith. Then you also have an expression where someone is described as being full of faith. He's just loaded with faith. Full of faith. And that one can be found in Acts chapter 6 and verse 5, where they describe one of the brothers called Stephen. And the Bible says that he was just full of faith, and so on and so forth. There's another type called rich faith, unwavering faith, mature faith, world overcoming faith, Then the negative ones, failing faith. You know, that's faith that failed. It didn't work. You know, and then dead faith. Faith that has no works is dead. Dead faith. Maybe we can read about dead faith. James chapter 2 and verse 17. James chapter 2 and verse 17. Even so faith, if it has, maybe read from verse 16 and verse 15. If one of you say to them, depart in peace and be warmed and filled. Okay, see 15. Let's go to 15. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, hallelujah, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled. Notwithstanding, ye give them not those things which are needful to the body. What does it profit? Do you see? Even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. Do you see? In other words, for faith to be alive, it needs to be backed by corresponding action. It needs to be backed by something that demonstrates what you believe. Hallelujah. That is not just talk. Hallelujah. It's not just talk. But that you need to demonstrate what you believe by what you do. You know. So faith, when it doesn't have works, is dead. So dead faith is faith that is standing alone. Faith that is just what someone is saying without any action that backs what they're saying. Hallelujah. Then the last one is shipwrecked faith. Shipwrecked faith. Shipwrecked faith. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 19 says, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. You know, so that's the last type of faith. Right. Now, how can we make faith grow? How can we improve on the faith that we have? Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Isn't it? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So what we believe is often determined by what we hear. Hallelujah. What we believe is determined by what we hear. And what we hear comes in two ways. We hear things intentionally. We hear them unintentionally. Isn't it? But no matter how you heard it, it affects you. A lot of us won't do certain things. I mean, if I said to you that I have a special treat for you. I have, you know, a ticket for two for a vacation in Afghanistan. Or Syria. You know, I have a vacation for you. You know. You see, it was looking and sounding good until I said where. See, now you don't even want to go to Afghanistan. It sounds like you don't even want to go to any part of Afghanistan. So shall I assume that you've been there before? You haven't been there before. Have you been to Afghanistan?
No.
Pastor Charles, have you been to Afghanistan? So why are you rejecting my vacation package? Because of what you have heard. Isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes. So the things we hear about people, about situations, about circumstances, they really affect our faith. They affect our faith. They either help it to grow or they help it to die. they turn strong faith into weak faith. Hallelujah. So you are sick and you're trying to get healed. You're believing God for healing. And you are confessing about healing. Then now you are also on Google and you are trying to find out how many days such people live. People who have such a disease, how many days do they typically live? Can you understand what I'm saying? So you start to read, and as you start to read and read and read and read, by the time you're done with your Google session, there is no faith left. No faith left, except enough faith to write a will. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah? You're reading all the negative things, the things that fight against, even the stories about people who are in your situation who didn't make it. People who didn't do well. People who have struggled. All these things act on your faith and they cause your faith to become weak. Because weak things usually were once strong. Do you see? They were once strong. But when strength is diminished, then weakness sets in. Like if you take a chair, most chairs are not made weak. Do you see? They are made strong, but over time, they can become weak because of so many things that have acted on it. So I want to suggest to you that if you're going to be strong in faith, you need to block out certain things. You need to block out things that are negative and things that attack your faith, which is exactly what Abraham did. The Bible says he did not consider it. That means if you came to him and you sat down with him and said, Abraham, how old are you? So I'm 100 years old. So, and have you considered what it means? So, excuse me, don't discuss this with me. I don't discuss my age with people. That is it. Because Abraham knew that if you open up this discussion about what happens to 100-year-old men when they are trying to have babies, you know, so many things can happen. Abraham didn't want any of that. Yeah. Someone would ask him, how old is your wife? I don't discuss my wife's age with people. Because Abraham could see ahead where the person was going with the conversation. So if I let this guy into my life through this door, we're going to have a conversation that will leave me without any faith. He's going to tell me all the reasons why a woman as old as Sarah is should not try something like this. Do you see what I'm saying? So Abraham said, please, I will not consider it. I will not consider that. To consider means to take it into account. Do you understand? To take it into account. When you are considering something, it means you are including the thing in your deliberations, in your discussions, in your thoughts about the thing. You are including these facts, this, that, and that. And Abraham said, I do not consider this. The only thing I consider is that God said it, and that is what I'm considering. Hallelujah. So your faith comes and is affected by what you hear. If you hear bad stories all the time, your faith will be affected. But if you hear testimonies, that is why one of the things you should do, especially when you are sick and you are trusting God for healing, one of the things you should do is to go to healingjesus.org and go to healingjesus.tv and watch miracles and hear people being healed of various diseases and different kinds of sicknesses. Recombine that with the Gospels as Jesus is healing people. And then watch it in action as the man of God is praying for people who are being healed and who are testifying. And let that energize your faith and feed your faith and lift you up and make you say, my God can do it. Amen. No matter what the circumstances are. Hallelujah. God loves such people. God loves people who look beyond the circumstances and all they see is him and what he can do. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? Your faith will grow and be affected by what you hear. So sometimes you shouldn't listen to the news too much. Sometimes you should just take a, if you, you know, we all live in a real world. You need to know where the road is blocked and so on. But you don't even need to watch it. If you are going, like as we were coming here, we found out that the street was blocked. I don't need to hear it. If it's blocked, I'll see it. But what I'm saying is that sometimes we're too much into the negative news. And in today's world, it's not news until it's negative. They won't talk about it if it is great. If it's positive, nobody wants to talk about it. They only want to tell us who is shooting who is killing who, how many of them, who went out where, and what happened to them, and so on and so forth. And sometimes the things you see on the news, you see as you're living your daily life, you begin, like last night when I was returning from someplace and I stopped at a gas station to buy gas, you know, then suddenly I remembered some videos that I watched. You know, I had seen some videos where, you know, somebody had parked his car at the gas station and another person came to open the door and took something out. So I closed the door. I put my bag on the floor. I started to hide my iPad somewhere. I mean, what is going on? Then some other guys came by and they were riding a motorbike. Then I began to remember something I saw about people, some gunshots at the gas station and so on and so forth. And I was just seeing that I could not even have my peace. You know, and all I was there to do was just to get some gas and buy me a coffee or something like that. And the whole situation, my mind was just cluttered with so many things I had heard. So even I was trying to, there was the guy in the shop, I was trying to invite him to church. And I was doing it at high speed. Do you see? Because I wanted to get out of there very quickly. Because fear was coming to me. And it was coming because of the things that I had heard. And you know, that particular gas station had a bit of a funky look. You know, so the whole place was kind of funny. Then when I sat in my car and I started the car, then you know, the tire pressure monitor, just as I was moving the car, it just came on and said that my tire, one of them, I looked at it and I said, you know something? We'll see to this when we get home. I'm going to take the car like that. I'm not staying here for anything. I'm going with the car like that. So I got out of the car and saw one of the tires had come down a little bit. I said, you know, you better stay because I'm not going to mind you here. You see, but it's all because of the things I've heard. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And a lot of the things you hear, you don't even choose. But to any extent where it depends on you, block out negative news and negative things and things that are not helpful to the course that you have chosen. Hallelujah. Amen. So trusting God to find a job, block out things about people who didn't find a job. Don't talk to someone who's so negative. Sometimes the worst thing to do is to talk to someone who didn't get what you are trying to get. Because they will discourage you. They will minister doubt and fear. By the time you're through with them, you will just join them. Talk to someone who made it. Amen. Talk to someone who believes it is possible. Talk to someone who will give you some hope and who will help feed your faith. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
So faith comes by what we hear. Then faith also comes or is affected by what we see. You see, faith is also affected by what we see. And a good example is what we read earlier about Peter. So go to Matthew chapter 14. Go with me to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, very quickly, we're just finishing. How many are being blessed by the messages on faith? Okay, Matthew chapter 14, and let's read from, let's start from verse 22. It says, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and go before him onto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. Verse 23. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. Verse 24. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. Right. Now, some people think that just because God asked you to do something, you will not encounter any difficulties. Do you understand? It was Jesus who told them to get on the ship and go to the other side. And yet the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves. See, when you're starting a church, for example, sometimes you can go through difficult times, difficult days. That can make you wonder whether God actually asked you to do what you're doing. I'm sure by this time, these people were wondering, did we hear right? Did he say, go and lie on the seas, on the beach? And we misinterpreted that to mean, go get in the ship and go to the other side. Because now a bad thing is happening to them when they have tried to obey the word of God. Are you getting what I'm saying? Somewhere along the line in your Christian life, you're going to find yourself having a bad experience while you're trying to obey the word of God. While you're trying to do what God said you should do, you're going to find out that the result doesn't seem to be as positive as you thought it would be. You're going to marry a believer because God said you shouldn't marry an unbeliever. And then down the line, find yourself with problems and challenges which you think that if you had married even an unbeliever, you probably wouldn't have such problems. Are you following what I'm saying? You will say that, but the Lord said I should do this and I did it. I've done it. You know, one lady who was having difficulty having babies, and then she was saying that, but I've remained a virgin. I've been a virgin the whole of my life. I haven't done anything like this. So why is the Lord doing this to me? Do you understand? I have obeyed the word of God and it looks like I'm experiencing difficulties either because of that, or I thought at least I would be spared some difficulty, and the difficulty is there in spite of having obeyed the word of God. But you see, these people were tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. Then go on to the next verse, verse 25. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. Hallelujah. So that is the answer to your question. Look up, because Jesus is showing up any day now.
Amen.
Hallelujah. One of these days you are going to see Jesus walking right into your situation, walking over the very things that are tossing you up and down, and coming straight to get you. Hallelujah. He went unto them walking on the sea. Verse 26. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. Hey! And they cried out for fear. They said, the whole thing is worse now. The sea is tossing us up and down, and now a spirit is also approaching us, trying to attack us. Oh Lord, help us. And so they cried out for fear. Verse 27. But straight away Jesus spake to them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Do you understand? He said, be of good cheer. You know, it is I. Be not afraid. Now that means that when God starts to come through for you, sometimes it doesn't look like God. Even some of the things that scare you are actually God. Are you following what I'm saying? Some of the things you are afraid of is actually the Lord. He's coming through. You know, they thought a spirit has come to attack us. Now we are dead. We are dead. The disciples looked at the whole situation. They said, no. Now we know for sure we miss God's voice. It was never God who told us to come this way. Look at the problems we are having. The sea tossing us left and right, and now a ghost is also coming. You know, a spirit, a dwarf of some sort. You know, it's a problem. But the Lord spoke, said, no, it's not a dwarf. It is I. He said, be of good cheer. It is I. You will be surprised that sometimes a relationship that doesn't work out, and you're just thinking and your heart is so broken. And all that the Lord has to say is, be of good cheer. It is I.
Wow.
Yeah, it is I. I'm the one that has allowed this to go the way it is. Yeah, because I have something better for you. Because I have something better for you. I have something better for you. See, you cannot see as far as I can see. Do you know that children cry even when you take a knife from them?
Wow.
Can you believe it? When you take a knife from a child just to keep her from hurting herself, she throws herself on the floor, tantrums, cries, scream, oh, you don't love me, you don't care about me, you don't love me because you took a knife from me. So sometimes in our immaturity, we cry after the things that God has taken away from us for our own good. Are you understanding what I'm saying? The thing that God has allowed you to lose just for your own good. You find yourself crying and screaming and say, I'll never serve you anymore. I won't go to church anymore. If you don't give this thing back to me, I won't go to church. Have you seen a kid? You took a photo of me. Yeah? You see kids doing that. I'm not going to church. I won't serve God anymore. I won't sing in a choir anymore. I won't do anything like that anymore. Because God has let me down. Because God didn't give me that job. God didn't give me this or that. Or this person didn't marry me. Or that person didn't marry me. Or that when I went to look for a job here, they said no. And when I prayed about the apartment in this place, and I prayed and prayed and prayed, and I went to talk to the guys, they still didn't rent it out to me. And so many different things. Not knowing that God is saving you from the toxic gas that is leaking in the roof that you don't even know about. Because your eyes can only see paint. See, when you looked in the place, wow, you see the different paint, different colors. Oh, it's so nice, glorious. What you cannot see is the death that is hiding in the roof. And God says, no. And so you go, you pray in tongues, and you pray, Shabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabal deadness of Sarah's womb. I declare that I have strong faith. I refuse to be weak in faith. I will not stagger at the promise of God. And God is saying, there is death up there. You're not getting this apartment. And they say, no. So straightway Jesus said unto them, be of good cheer. It's not a ghost, it's me. It looks like a ghost. It looks like a spirit. It looks like a demon is after you. But it's not a demon. It is I. It is I. Hallelujah. It is I. The Lord says, it looks like something is out to get you. But there's nothing out to get you. It is I. I'm the one coming your way. Hallelujah. So don't be afraid. Verse 28. Verse 28 says, Peter answered and said to him, if it be thou, if it is you, then bid me come on the water. I am just thinking that, Peter, if you feel like going on water, why don't you just go? But Peter knew better. He knew that you don't take certain risks except when the word of God allows you to. That the best thing to stand on is the word of God. That there's a difference between walking by faith and walking in foolishness. And Peter knew that if I take a step out of this place outside the word, now I'm not walking by faith. I'm walking in foolishness. Do you understand? I'm walking in foolishness. And Peter said, I'm not going to be foolish. Lord, I need a word to walk on. And so the Lord said to him in verse 29, the Lord said to him, come. He said, that's enough. When Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on water. to go to Jesus. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. So it's working. Everybody say it's working.
It's working.
It's working. I tell you, if you get a word, if you get a word, if you get a word, step out on the word. Step out on the word. And you don't need any elaborate word. All that Jesus said was come. Just come was enough. Peter said, I just need something to step on. So put a word right here, I'll put my foot on it. Hallelujah. And the Lord said, come. The Lord said, come. Just come. You know, how did we get here? We came on the word of God. He said, go ye and preach the gospel to every place. That is all the reason why we are here. That's why we are having a church here. Yeah, we didn't have any elaborate dream or any vision or anything like that in color or black and white. None, nothing like that. We just have faith in the word of God that is in the Bible, that God wants his people everywhere to hear the word of God. That is it. Go into the world and preach the gospel to every place. Go into every place. And he said, teaching them, establishing places of worship so that people can be assembled and taught. That's why we're here. So if you think we came on a vision, please. There's no vision. It's just come. Do you understand? So Peter, come. And out of the ship, he goes. And then he starts walking to go to Jesus. And it's working. Say it's working.
It's working.
Then verse 30. It's working until he sees the wind. Do you see? And most of the time, faith works until it is interrupted by what you have seen. Do you see? Yeah. Faith works until it is intercepted by what you have seen. And when you start to see, and seeing is a companion of hearing, and their effect on your faith is the same. When you see negative things, sometimes when you watch negative movies, do you see, you watch movies of people at home by themselves and then hearing some noise in the backyard and they thought initially it was just a wind, not knowing it was an evil spirit that had come into the area and was someone who had come to come and, you know, do something in the back. Then the person came into the house. When you watch such things, they begin to attack your faith. They begin to attack your faith. Sometimes seeing a lot of unsuccessful people makes it difficult to believe that you can be successful. Yeah. That is why you see sometimes a whole group of people and nobody's doing well because everybody's feeding off the other. You understand? As I am looking at you, I'm becoming like you. And when I become like you in front of you, you become more like the you or me that I have become. Do you understand? Yeah. So that's why sometimes you can see a whole neighborhood. And the only way someone can do well is to extract him out of the pack and put him in a new place. Because everybody there is down. Nobody there is doing well. So everyone's dreams are capped by what is available to see over there. And that is that nobody dreams outside it. So you need to change your environment. He said, when he saw the wind, boisterous, he was afraid. He was afraid. And forgot about the fact that the wind was there before God told him to come. But when Christ told him to come, he chose to ignore the wind and stay with the come. And then he stepped out and he began to work. But then down the line, he takes his eyes off the come and focuses it on the wind, which is not new. The wind was not new. But then he began to sink because his eyes were now off the word. He was now beginning to focus on what he was seeing, what people were telling him, you know, even he himself analyzing, what am I doing? I'm Peter, not Christ. I can't walk on water. I mean, who does this? No. Nobody in my family has done this before. There's nobody. My father never walked on water. My grandfather never walked on water. It's not in our family. Our family doesn't do this. You know, we are not a water walking family. You see, and he's thinking about all these things. Suddenly, he begins to sink. You see, sometimes people who are doing well suddenly begin to sink. The person started out well, and they are going along, and they seem to be doing well. Then suddenly they start to sink. And you wonder what happened. Because they succumbed to the winds instead of continuing to hang on to the word of God. Hallelujah. If we as a church want to continue to grow and to do well, we need to hang on to the word of God. We need to hang on to the word of God. God is the one who said the kingdom of God is like a grain of mustard seed which a man took and sowed in his field. So it's not strange that we are small. That's how it starts. That is how it begins. And we must hang on to it. The day when the devil comes to tell you, oh, you're not a real church. Real church? Small like that in a small room in a community center, you can't be a real church. No. We need to hang on to the word of God. We need to hold on to the word of God. Hallelujah. There'll be days when people don't come to church for whatever reason. You know the reasons why you don't come to church. You know, so many reasons that people can have for not coming to church. But we must continue to hang on to the word of God. Are you following what I'm saying? We must continue to hold on to the word of God and believe that God has sent us to do what we are doing. And that we will overcome every obstacle. And God's plan will come to pass. Amen. He said he began to sink and he cried, Lord, save me. Save me. And that's when, verse 31, Jesus stretched out his hand. Immediately, Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? You know, he said, your faith has been affected by what you saw. So strong faith has become weak faith, isn't it? Great faith has become little faith. When you were, your faith was great, you didn't consider that there was a wind around. You just thought that so long as, I mean, Peter must have had a lot of faith. Think about it. When, first of all, you are scared by the winds, then now you are thinking it's a ghost. What makes you want to go and join them? Except that you have great faith. You have great faith in what you have heard. And he said, come. And you are going, what if it is not him? What if it is a spirit that is imitating him? But Peter didn't care. The word of God is good enough. I'm going. I'm going, I'm going, I'm going. And he steps out and he begins to walk and is working. Then suddenly he takes his eyes off that. And he starts to see the boisterous winds and starts to consider all the other things, you know. And Jesus said, you see, your faith was great, but what you saw has made it become small. So it may be that your faith is small because of the movies you are watching. It may be that your faith is small because of the books you are reading. The novels you're reading do not allow you to have faith in your marriage. They do not allow you to have faith that the marriage will work all the way to the end. That you're going to celebrate a 45th anniversary. Yes. A 50th anniversary. Yes. The books you are reading do not allow you to have that kind of faith. So you need to change that. You need to change that. Sometimes looking at what happened to your parents sort of makes you sort of preset how long yours will last. And you have a general expectation that you're probably going to end up alone the way your mother ended up alone or the way your dad ended up alone. So you have all these things programmed in your head. So even though you are in it, you don't see an end with him or with her. Because that's what you have seen. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. But you need to believe in the word.
Amen.
Believe in the word. It happened to your mother doesn't mean it will happen to you.
Amen.
It happened to your father doesn't mean it will happen to you. Amen. Your father died from a heart attack. True, that's him. That's not you.
Amen.
If it was you, you would go with him.
Wow.
Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. It happened to your father, but that's not mean it will have to happen to you. You must have faith in God. Have faith in his word. by his stripes you are healed. Healed of every family disease, every disease in your DNA, in your genetic setup, whatever it is that is in the family, by the grace of God. You know, the blood of Jesus, that's why we have communion. Did you bring your communion? I think we have to have the communion so that we get a blood transfusion.
Amen.
Do you understand? To change the blood. From the blood that is in your family that is bringing diseases and killing people at 42. To the blood that causes people who are dead to even rise up from the dead. That's the kind of blood you want running in your veins. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So have faith in God. Tell your neighbor, I have faith, great faith. So tell the person, my faith is not weak at all. Yeah, I said, don't mess with me. My faith is not weak at all. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet and let's bring the service to a close. Amen. Yeah. Bring the communion. Let's pray over it. And let's have communion. Our time is up. We're just closing. Hallelujah. Bow your heads with me, everybody, and just pray. Say, Lord, please increase my faith in the name of Jesus. Say, Lord, I want my faith to grow in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your blessing. Now, before we go, maybe you're here today and you want to give your life to Jesus. Before we go to the Lord's table, I want to give you that opportunity to give your life to Jesus, to be sure that you are a child of God, to be sure that you are washed by his blood, to be sure that if you die today, you will go to heaven. I want to give you that opportunity before we close this service. So if you're here like that, and that's the prayer on your heart, I want you to raise up your right hand and I'll pray for you. You want your sins to be forgiven. You want to be sure that you are washed by the blood of Jesus. And you want to be sure that when you die, you'll go to heaven. Raise up your right hand and I'll pray for you. Is there anybody here like that tonight? Does anybody want to say this prayer with me tonight? Thank you, Jesus. Okay, why don't we just say this prayer together? Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me. I have faith in your blood. I believe with my heart that you died for my sins. And I confess with my mouth, God raised you from the dead. Please come into my heart. Forgive my sins. Cleanse me from unrighteousness. And make me a child of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing my prayer. Amen. Thank you, Lord. What can